Centre presents Muffin Talk with Beate. Kia ora and welcome to our Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Centre in Epsom. We are a centre for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our centre, the Mercy Sisters, social justice or the Catholic Church. Today, my visitor is Kevin Gallagher. Kevin, a warm welcome and hi to my radio programme.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the warm welcome. It's lovely to be here.
Kevin is a spiritual director or a companion from Christchurch, and his studies and experience are especially in the Ignatian spiritual exercises, and he's the coordinator of Arupe New Zealand. Kevin, you're specialized on Ignatian spiritual exercises. The name of these exercises refer to St. Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuit order. Can you tell us more about the saint?
Sure. I think, first of all, when you use that word specialized, I'd like to suggest that, like Ignatius, I'm a pilgrim. I'm just another on the journey. Ignatius considered himself a pilgrim, and he was born in 1491 and brought up in a very noble family in Loyola, which is in the north of Spain, and he was wounded, seriously wounded in a battle. He was a soldier, he became a soldier serving the king, and he was wounded in a battle, and it led him to a deep conversion experience in his life, and that conversion experience led him to really listen to some of his deep desires. Some of those, he discovered something of the love God has for him and began to open up more and more to that awareness of being loved. So,
would you say that he's a mystic?
Yes, I think we could say that. Ignatius really drew from everything that was available for him at that time. You would say that he really searched deep in his heart for what life was really about for him.
And was it St. Ignatius who then introduced the Ignatian spiritual exercises?
Yes, part of his pilgrimage, part of his journey was in a little town called Manresa, in also in Spain, not too far from that wonderful Mount Montserrat, the mountains, and about 60 kilometres from Barcelona. Ignatius spent about 11 months there, really searching. He lived in a cave a lot of the time. And during that time, he had deep mystical experiences and then began to write the spiritual exercises, which were to help others. His soul spirituality was to help souls. So he wrote down exercises to assist others in their own journey.
So he grew up as certainly of a higher class, because otherwise he wouldn't read and write at that time in the late 15th century.
Yes.
But so he became a soldier, and then he had these experiences, and so then he became a spiritual person. Maybe he was not a spiritual person beforehand, so it shows that from a very ordinary life, what his parents may have expected, became very spiritual.
And I think you could say that Ignatius was an example of a saint who wasn't a saint before he was a saint, if you know what I mean. He was a very ambitious man. He was known to be a street fighter. He had lots of relationships. So in many ways, the cannonball that hit his leg, the injury that he had while he was a soldier, infirmed him for quite a long period of time. And during that period of time, he tried to entertain himself by reading lives of the Mills and Boone type of literature. And then he also was given a couple of books, one, The Lives of the Saints, and another, The Life of Christ. And he began to be attentive to the movements within his own heart. While he was reading the Mills and Boone type of writings, he would get quite excited, but notice that it went very quickly, his excitement. And when he read The Lives of the Saints, The Life of Christ, he noticed his heart was excited, and sometimes for days. So he began to be attentive to the movements within himself, and that led him to a deeper awareness of God present in all things, in himself, in other people, and in the whole of creation.
Mm-hmm. For those of you who just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/Muffin Talk or visit our website or Facebook page at Te Ngaka Waiora Mercy Spirituality Center. Today, my visitor is Kevin Gallagher. Kevin is a spiritual companion, and he has just talked about St. Ignatius of Loyola. And because we want to talk about the Ignatian exercises, spiritual exercises. Kevin, you are the coordinator of Arupe New Zealand. I assume this program is named after Pedro Arupe, a Jesuit. And what is Arupe New Zealand?
Well, Arupe New Zealand grew out of a program that we called SEED in Christchurch. The SEED program was forming spiritual directors in Christchurch. And for a number of years, there was a wonderful Anglican priest called Pamela Warnes, who actually lived in Auckland and died recently. And she'd started this program called SEED. And a number of us who now are part of the Arupe program, not all, but a few of us, were part of the SEED course. And the SEED course was forming spiritual directors in the Ignatian tradition. The interim after Pamela Warnes left Christchurch, the group kept meeting, and then we had the earthquakes, and the earthquakes threw us all into a spin about, okay, what's going on here? What should we be doing? And some of us met up with a couple of other people in New Zealand, Mark Chamberlain, a priest from Dunedin, and Brian Cummings from
the Marist
here in Wellington, who were also already doing this sort of work of forming people in Ignatian spirituality. So we decided to come together and begin to offer spirituality programs, retreats in daily life, and all based on the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, and also to develop a program of forming people as spiritual directors in the Ignatian tradition.
And why do you call it Arupe program?
It's named after Pedro Arupe, who, as you know, was the general of the Society of Jesus for a number of years, and is often referred to as the second reformer of the Society of Jesus.
Who was the first one?
St. Ignatius.
He was the founder.
He was the founder. Yeah. But, well, you could see Pedro Rupe was present in a time of great change in the Catholic Church.
He only died in the 1990s, didn't he?
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
So he's a contemporary.
He's a contemporary person. Yeah. His main, the attraction for us was that Pedro Rupe had a great desire to see the Society of Jesus working on the margins, working with the poor, working for social justice. And the second great movement of Pedro Rupe was for the laity. So he was really encouraging laity to waken to the gifts that they already have for the church as a whole. So in the Arupe New Zealand, we see ourselves as lay, religious and clergy working together in a collaborative way. And that's really important for us.
I remember that I read about St. Francis of Sales, that he was one of the first or the first who promoted spirituality and retreats for lay people.
Mm.
So it's interesting what you say, that it's, you have a focus also on lay people. Do you think that they don't have enough offers for spirituality? Or is it something really special? What makes it special?
So, could you just rephrase that as relating to?
I'm just wondering if this relationship between the laity and the spirituality, because you said that it's this, the Ignatian idea is to have the laity and the clergy. It's something for both. Do you think there is a lack of offers for the laity? Do you think that there's still the view that it's more retreats and spiritual exercises are more for clergy or for religious? I don't know.
Mm.
It's a question.
Yeah. Well, I think that there's a strong call nowadays for collaborative ministry. I think it's the way forward. We really do need to listen to one another. We do need to recognize the gifts we have and to collaborate, to work together. I just feel strongly that that's a really important direction. And of course, Ignatius, when he began to offer the spiritual exercises, he was a layman. He was referencing experience, his own personal experience of God. And he took that very seriously. And he wanted to share that with others. So whether we're a lay person, a clergy, or a religious, I believe we're all called at this time to do the same.
Can you tell us more about what makes the Ignatian idea? Because you mentioned already some characteristics.
Mm. Well, to be honest, Ignatian spirituality, if you ask that of Ignatius, what is Ignatian spirituality, he probably wouldn't have any idea of what you were talking about. And he would say to you, all I did was to draw from everything that was available for me at the time. And his main desire was to help souls, in his language, help souls. It was to assist people to wake up. Probably the one phrase that I find the most helpful in understanding the spirituality of St. Ignatius would be being attentive. The spiritual exercises are really an invitation to be attentive.
And the exercises, do you do that by yourself or do you do that in a group?
Okay. Well, you can do both. There is certainly a relational aspect of Ignatian spirituality because it's important to have an opportunity to share with someone, and an opportunity to listen to each other's experience. So spiritual direction, for instance, is a very important aspect for helping us to grow, for helping us to get in touch with our experience. And Ignatius was really serious about finding God in our experiences, but in the ordinary, everyday experiences. It's not regarded as something that is separate from the ordinary. So it's finding God in the ordinary, everyday experiences of life.
And when you go through these programs that exist, we have had some programs also at the Spirituality Center. These programs, can you tell us a little bit about how they are set up?
Well, we try to keep to the foundational frameworks in the spiritual exercises that Ignatius has offered us. We're also aware that these were written 500 years ago, so there needs to be adaptions of how we interpret them and how we present them. But the basic framework is a dynamic movement of deepening awareness of being loved by God, and how that impacts on us, and how that awakens us to the God of our experiences. It's sort of, in a sense, it's like God is constantly trying to draw our attention, and the invitation is for us to be attentive in response to that.
And so do you give in these exercises, do you give an input and then people reflect on it?
No, I think what, well, in summary, what we do is we would introduce someone to an experience. For example, Ignatius at the very beginning suggests or leads you in an exercise called the preparatory prayer. And what he's invites you to is consider how God our Lord is looking at you. So he would prepare you, and then he would invite you to consider how God our Lord is looking at you. And then he might suggest that you just spend some time in that simple exercise of considering how God our Lord is gazing on you or looking at you. So you might go off, sit in the garden, and enjoy the beautiful breeze and the trees and the shrubs of the garden, and just sit there and consider that. And then you might return and share something of that. What was that like? That's a good question you could ask yourself afterwards. And then you might have an opportunity to share that with someone else. Okay, what was it like to consider how God is looking at me? So that's a simple exercise. So it's more about preparing you for an experience, but the experience is very much between you and God. And then the opportunity for you to share something of that experience afterwards to help you deepen it, to help you make it part of yourself.
And when you share it, you might instigate something in others, isn't it? That you start sharing something and the other person says, oh, yes, I've seen something similar without having mentioned it before. Hmm. Don't you enhance a little bit of creating more awareness.
Mm, yeah. I think that's certainly been my experience. And it's one of the gifts of spiritual companioning or spiritual direction, is that you're listening to another's felt knowing or experience of God, and that deepens your experience. That triggers your deep knowing. Yeah.
So how many people are in one of these courses usually? What is the minimum or maximum number in order to have a very good experience?
Well, that's a difficult question, because any individual can have an experience in the spiritual exercises. So where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. Numbers mean very little as far as deepening experience. I think what means the most is openness, generosity, people generous with their time, and courage. They take the risk of opening themselves to God's love and presence.
And these spiritual exercises, are they done all over in the world? Is it a worldwide rediscovery of St. Ignatius, or maybe it has been in place for 500 years? I just didn't know.
Yeah. Well, of course, the spiritual exercises are the foundation of the spirituality of the Jesuits. And the Jesuit order is one of the biggest orders of men in the Catholic Church. And, of course, we have Pope Francis, who is a Jesuit, the first Jesuit pope. So this spirituality has been continuing since St. Ignatius triggered it 500 years ago. And there are all over the world people who are nourished, who are fed by, who find the spirituality of the spiritual exercises really helpful in their pilgrimage, in their path of transformation.
Do you have to learn to get involved, or how long does it take you to really understand it once you start with the exercises?
Oh. Well, there are many adaptions and variations of how the exercises can apply to you, can be helpful for you. In the simplest form, it's something like I've talked about just before, just considering God's gaze on you. The spiritual exercises, the full retreat can be a 30-day retreat where you go through all of the exercises that Ignatius recommends, which is in silence, and it's also a wonderful experience that many people have undertaken in their journey. That same journey can be done in everyday life over a 9-month period, or you might just have a 2-day experience or a taster of some of the exercises. We run the Arupa New Zealand run 30-day retreats. We run 8-day retreats, 6-day retreats, 2-day retreats, first-time retreats, retreats in parishes in Christchurch. So these exercises can be adapted to suit whoever is sitting before you and in whatever way that person's attracted to.
We've just had 2 weekend retreats at our spirituality center, and we are planning to have a 6-week retreat, but only every six, we meet 6 times in yep. the evening in the chapel. But we, if we have the right number, in that case, we do have to have a certain number mm-hmm. so that the facilitator can come. And so that's an offer that we have at the Spirituality Centers from 28th of September to the 2nd of November. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is something for people who have to work or who have no time during the day. But for the evening hours, they might have a couple of hours to dedicate themselves to these exercises.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, and it's a wonderful opportunity for people. We also, Rupa New Zealand also run a formation course for spiritual direction. And the formation course is open to those who've already journeyed with the exercises. It's called Te Wairua Mahi, which is...
The work of the spirit.
The work of the spirit.
Te Wairua,
Te Wairua Mahi.
Te Wairua Mahi. Thank you very much, Kevin. It was very interesting. I know a lot more about St. Ignatius and his spirituality and his exercises.
Thank you very much.
And 30-day retreat and lots of exercises. So St. Ignatius was very productive.
Thank you very much, Beatrice. Lovely to be with you.
Thank you.